The reading today is from Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 28, and is found on page 1054 in the Pew Bibles. So, Luke chapter 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Let me pray as we look at God's word together. Open our eyes that we might see wonderful things from your word. For your name's sake, amen. Just want to check, is the microphone picking me up well enough? Yes? Good. Well, let's start with a question, and that is, when you meet someone, what are the clues that tell you who they are? What sort of things are you looking for when you meet someone that might give you a clue about who they are? Any ideas? Reuben? Their name, yes, that's a pretty good clue about who, what they are. But if you didn't know their name, what might you look for as a clue to find out who someone is? Cadman, one thing.
It's fairly unlikely. Suppose they have a walking stick and a thing to experiment.
Is that a walking stick? Yeah, that might tell you something about them. Other things about, clues about who they are. Yes, Reuben? Their face, maybe what they wear, that might be a clue to who someone is. Ethan?
They might go do something very usual every day.
So just give me an example.
If you are driving a scooter every day.
So something they do, yes? Any other ideas? Any ideas from out there? Things that might give you a clue about who someone is when you meet them. What they're wearing, yes? Another clue? Any other ideas? It's really important, hands down now, it's really important to know who someone is so that you can treat them the right way. So if someone was a doctor, then you'd go to them to be made better, wouldn't you? So it's important that you know someone's a doctor. Or if someone's a policeman and they stop your car, well then, or they're coming up behind your car and their lights are flashing, you need to know that they're a policeman so that you stop. Okay? It's important to know who someone is so that you treat them the right way. And that's really important when it comes to knowing who Jesus is. It's really important to be sure about who Jesus is so that we treat him the right way. And our friends, people around us, will have different ideas about who Jesus is. Most of us in here will be convinced that Jesus is God himself who became a human being, and he is the King, as we've been singing about. But also people don't believe that about Jesus. They might think he's just a good person, a good teacher, but not God himself, not the King who should rule over our lives. So it's really important to be clear about who Jesus is. Adults might remember the television program Through the Keyhole, and you'd be taken into someone's house and you'd see various hints about who they are, the way the house is decorated and the personality that expresses, or particular objects that are of significance. And then a panel would try and guess who that house belongs to. And it would be some celebrity. Well, in our reading, Luke gives us three clues about who Jesus is, so that we can be sure of it and so that we can treat him rightly. And the first clue is the place. The place. Okay, it's where we meet Jesus. Let me give you an example of how this works. Can we have the first slide up, please? There we go. Just have a look at that slide, and you have a look at that slide as well. Can anyone tell me who you'd expect to meet there? Ethan.
Queen Elizabeth
II. You went to see that earlier this year, didn't you? You went on a school trip, didn't you? Yeah, very good. So you'd expect to see the Queen there, wouldn't you? What about the next one? Who would you expect to meet there? Jerome. The President of the United States of America. Yes, that's the White House. So if you went to a certain place, then that would give you a clue about who you meet there. Well, we have that here. Jesus is about to go to Jerusalem, and he approaches two villages, Bethphage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives. And then later on, he approaches Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. So it's there in verse 29, it's there in verse 37, if you're following in the church Bibles. And the Mount of Olives was a special place to the Jewish people. See, there are promises in the Old Testament that one day God would meet with his people at the Mount of Olives. And on that special day, he would rescue them from all their enemies, and he would bring peace. Now, it didn't quite work out how they were expecting. It wasn't all going to happen all at once. But the Mount of Olives was a very special place for them, because that was the place where God himself would appear, and he would become the king of all the earth. Where all the earth would realize that he is the king. And again, if you're following or you're taking notes, that's Zechariah chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. And so that's the first clue. We see someone coming from the Mount of Olives. And so if the Lord is the one who meets his people at the Mount of Olives, who does that give us a clue about who Jesus is? He's the Lord. That's the first clue. The second clue is the colt. The colt. That's the animal that Jesus arranges to be collected and that he rides. In this case, it's a young donkey. Now again, let's have the next slide. What someone drives in will give you a clue about who they are and what their job is. So who might you expect to go in one of those? Ethan?
An ambulance.
So it's an ambulance, so who would be in there? Yes?
A doctor.
Yeah, they might take a doctor. Next one? Okay, what about that one? Who would you expect to be in there? Anastasia?
A policeman.
Policeman, yes. Next one? Oh, who would be in that one? Yes. Who do you expect to be in that one? Fireman, yes. Very good. Next one? Who would be in that one? Jerome?
Someone
important. Someone very important indeed. Cadman?
The Queen.
The Queen, yes. So what someone travels in, again, gives you a clue about who they are. What does Luke tell us about how Jesus travels? He goes and tells his disciples to go into the village ahead of them where they'll find a colt and no one has ridden it and they're to untie it and bring it to him. And then he rides on this colt into Jerusalem. Now again, why is that important? Well, right back at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 49, some promises were made to a man called Judah. And the promise that was made to Judah was that there would be someone from his family who would come, who would be a king. And the nations would obey this king. And it says he will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. So here is someone from the family of Judah who's going to be the king and all the nations will obey him. And he has a colt that is tied up. Well, that's what we find in Luke, isn't it? Jesus has a donkey that's tied up. And Luke has told us at the beginning of his gospel, he's traced Jesus' family tree all the way back to Judah, but even further beyond, all the way back to Adam. But there's a second reason why the colt, the donkey, gives us a clue to who Jesus is. Again, in Zechariah, there is this promise. Let me read it to you. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." So again, we have this king who is coming, and he will rule to the ends of the earth, and he will bring peace to the nations of the world, and he will come riding on a colt. And again, Luke is showing us that what Jesus rides on is a clue to who Jesus is. He is that king who is going to rule over the nations, who will bring peace. So we've got the place where people meet Jesus, the Mount of Olives. We've got what he rides on, the colt. And then finally, the cloaks. The cloaks. Now, when celebrities, famous people, arrive somewhere special, they roll out the red carpet. They get the red carpet treatment to show that they're special. So a picture of that. There you go. You've got Duke and Duchess of Cambridge there, Prince William, Catherine, on the red carpet at some special event. Well, in Luke, we get the cloak treatment. The cloak treatment. When people bring the donkey, the colt, back, they put their cloaks on it, they put Jesus on top, and then as Jesus is going along the way, people spread their cloaks along on the road. And that shows that they recognize that he's the king. They did it in the Bible for another king. This is back in 2 Kings and chapter 9. And a prophet called Elisha anoints a man called Jehu as king. And when that happens, the people who hear about it spread their cloaks on the ground in front of him. He gets the cloak treatment. There's one thing that's missing from this story, this true story about Jesus' entry in Jerusalem today. What aren't people doing in this story? What aren't people waving around? Jerome. They're not waving palm leaves. Luke doesn't tell us about any palm leaves. So today, as we're looking at Luke's gospel, it's No Palm Sunday, or it's Cloak Sunday. So remember, today is Cloak Sunday, and the cloak is a reminder that Jesus is the king. So we've got these clues. We've got the place, the Mount of Olives. We've got what Jesus rides on, the colt. We've got the cloaks that people spread before him. And the people see Jesus arriving on his way to Jerusalem. And they respond by praising God for all the miracles that they've seen Jesus perform over the course of his ministry. Things like making the deaf hear, making the blind see, feeding hungry people, more than 5,000 hungry people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Calming the storm. We've sung about some of them this morning. Even raising dead people to life. And they praise God for all the miracles they've seen. And this is what they conclude. They recognize that he is the king whom God has promised. They say, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." And they show that they know what this means. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It means that there's peace between us and God. You see, there shouldn't be peace between us and God. We turn away from God. We rebel against him. We sin. We live as if we were in charge of our lives. We don't give thanks to God for all the good things that he gives us. And we deserve for God to punish us. But all that Jesus has done shows that there is peace, or there's going to be peace between heaven and earth. And that's going to be made possible by what happens at the end of this week. See, there's one miracle that the people haven't seen yet that is waiting to happen. And that is that Jesus will die on the cross and take upon himself the punishment that his people deserve. And then he will rise again from the dead. the one who was put on a colt. The humility of the one who was put on a colt is just a little picture of the humility of the one who will be pierced on the cross. And so, how are we going to respond to Jesus? Well, the crowd shows us the right way, and that is celebration. Celebration. Jesus, having Jesus as our king is good news. He's going to be the king of all the earth. All the nations will obey him, and he will bring peace. He'll bring peace with God because of his death on the cross, and he'll bring peace to the nations of the world. That's really good news, isn't it, when we hear about things like what's happening in Ukraine. I don't know if you picked up on that word that was used to describe him back in Zechariah when he comes riding on a donkey. He's gentle. He is a gentle king. Now, I think in times past, people might have laughed at the idea of a king being gentle. They want a king who's strong and powerful, who's going to lead them to victory over his enemies in battle. But I think today, people would quite like the idea of a king who's gentle and who doesn't use his power for himself and to hurt other people, but who saves others and helps others. And so we should tell others about this king. That's how he's going to bring peace to the nations, to the ends of the earth, as we tell them about him and as they accept him as their king for themselves. And Warren and Lisa, I don't know if Paul and Nikki are watching on the live stream or on FaceTime, but your responsibility is to set that atmosphere in your home of celebration that Jesus is the king, as you bring up Turner to know him as the king for himself. But don't make the mistake of the Pharisees. They don't celebrate, they criticize. They say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Notice they just address Jesus as teacher. They don't see him as God's promised king. They just see him as a teacher. And so it's wrong of the disciples to respond in the way that they are. Notice that they're religious people, off on the way, that they are opposed to enthusiastic praise of Jesus as king. But they are wrong for their rebuke. Jesus deserves to be praised. He says, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And in Matthew's account of these events, when Jesus eventually goes to the temple in Jerusalem, the children are crying out, "Hosanna!" And the disciples and the Pharisees there tell Jesus to tell the children to be quiet. And don't let anyone tell you not to be quiet, to be quiet and to stop praising Jesus. Okay, keep on praising him. And we don't want to be on the side of the Pharisees in silencing young children in their praise of Jesus. And Jesus warns, as he approaches Jerusalem, that because they have not recognized him, they haven't recognized him as the king who brings peace, that they won't have peace with God, and that the Romans will come and will destroy the city. And that is a warning to each of us, that if we don't recognize that Jesus is the king, then we won't know peace with God and we will face his punishment forever. So Luke gives us three clues about who Jesus is. The place where we meet him, the Mount of Olives, the place where God promised that he would come to be his people and he would be acknowledged as king over all the earth. The colt. He is the king who comes riding on a donkey. And the cloaks. Again, people acknowledging that he is the king. So will we respond in joyful praise for the peace with God that we have through him and the peace that he will bring to the earth? Will we accept his rule as our king? And will we make him known to others? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that in your word you have given us a way that we can be sure about who Jesus is. We pray that you'd keep us firm in this faith. We pray that you would fill our hearts with praise for who he is and what he has done. Thank you for his death on the cross that has ultimately made it possible for us to have peace with you. Please forgive us when we fail to live with him as our king, when we fail to praise him as he deserves. And we pray as we go from here this morning, we would be bold to live in obedience to him, even when it's difficult, and that you would open our mouths to speak of him to others. In his name we pray. Amen.